Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Richard Brennan, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Galway, Ireland. He is also director of the Alexander Technique Center, a training course for Alexander Technique teachers, and he has a long-standing interest in school furniture and I guess what might be called the perils of some of the design of school furniture. And we're going to talk today about a kind of partial solution to the problem that individuals can undertake by using a wedge that they put on top of the seat of their chair. So, Richard, welcome to the show.
Okay, thank you, Robert.
And while we're not discussing the Alexander Technique directly, because these wedges are not an Alexander Technique thing, so to speak, but they are inspired by your observations, which, of course, are based on your Alexander background. Could you give our listeners a short description of what the Alexander Technique is?
I don't know about short, but I'll give it a go. The Alexander Technique for me helped me when I had a major back problem, because I had got into some very bad habits of sitting in a car when I was teaching people to drive. And these habits actually wore out the bottom three discs in my back. And so when I learned to sit in a different way, to use myself in a different way, both body and mind, I was able to cure my back.
Mm-hmm. And I take it you no longer suffer from back pain, is that right?
Not for 30 years.
No. Wow, that's pretty good. So yeah. As I said, your interest in chairs and desks of school children, it goes back a long way. I remember we've done a couple of interviews about it over the years, Maybe you could just very briefly summarize the issue that you're hoping to address, at least partially, with this wedge solution that we will then talk about.
Okay, well, I came across them during my Alexander lessons. I went to an Alexander teacher because I had a bad back, and one of the first things he did was he looked at my car, and the rake of the chair was going back probably 12 or 13 degrees. So what he did, he didn't give me a wedge. He put a couple of wooden blocks underneath the back legs of the chair, and it raised the back of the chair up and put the chair flat. And I immediately felt a difference in my back, that the pain definitely got less immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that the chair was making my whole pelvis rotate back, which was putting the pressure on the lower back.
Right. And so just in general, if you're sitting on a chair and it's and the surface of the chair is sloping down in a backwards direction, that makes your that poses quite a little challenge to your body's ability to have a decent upright posture. Is that kind of the basic idea here?
Well, if you're relaxing in the chair, the rake will take you to the back of the chair, and then you're resting on the back of the chair. Mm-hmm. That isn't too much of a problem. But what is a problem is if I need to get to my computer or the children need to get to their school books, then the rake of the back is pulling them away from where they want to go.
And when you say rake, maybe for our American listeners, I don't think that's a term that is...
Yeah, the rake is the base of the chair. A lot of people think, when I'm talking about backward sloping chairs, they think of the back, the actual back they rest on.
Oh, okay.
But the rake of the chair is the base of the chair.
The seat. The Americans seat, would just exactly. call it the seat. Okay.
Yeah.
So I know that maybe you could briefly summarize the work that you've done in terms of lobbying the Irish government and kind of getting something going in England as well about basically banning backward sloping rakes or seat surfaces. Just a word or two about that.
Yeah, well, I've been writing to Minister of Education for the last 20 years, and this January we actually finally met him face to face. And he took on board what we were saying. Nothing particular has happened yet, but at least we actually got to meet him. Mm-hmm. And he could see the what the issue was. So we're hoping that maybe something will come of that, but we're waiting to see. Mm-hmm. But we've also done a little bit of research at one of the schools in Galway, where we went in and we gave all the children the wedge to put on their chair. Mm-hmm. And when we came to take them away, most of the children didn't want us to take them away because they found that the chairs were very uncomfortable. Now, if you look at what school children do, a lot of them are tipping forward on the front legs of the chair. They're trying to make the chair flat themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So all we're doing is we're trying to help them to do that.
Right.
But the main thing was that the headmaster and the teachers who were teaching the children saw a marked improvement in their general posture. They were sitting more upright. They weren't so slouched.
Right. And you've written a report on this whole experiment, which will be on your website in a few days. So anyone who wants to read the details, and it includes quotes from children and some just collecting some data about the children's experience with these wedges, can read the details of it.
If they can, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I too have been interested for a long time in school furniture ever since I first visited my children's schools and observed that furniture from an Alexander point of view, and it is pretty terrible what those designs do for kids. And I think the basic problem, and I think you've expressed this elsewhere as well, is that the chairs and to some extent the desks are purchased to have low cost, and in particular for the chairs that they be stackable easily by custodial staff, which might be great for the custodians, but it's a pretty high price for the kids to pay. And there are all sorts of other examples. In a lunchroom I visited in what we call a middle school here in America, the seats were actually bolted to the table, so there was no way you could make any adjustments in their height or their distance from the table. And at the same table, of course, would be kids of quite dramatically different sizes and shapes.
Absolutely. So,
and in America, we have these regulations called OSHA, Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration, that in fact would not allow that kind of furniture in a workplace, would actually mm-hmm. prohibit it. But it seems to be okay for kids, who are, of course, the most vulnerable to developing harmful habits as a result of the furniture. So there is this broader picture, but we are focusing today on the specific angle of the seat of the chair. And I think your solution, or this partial solution at least that you've been suggesting, of using a wedge to at the very least correct that backward slope and maybe even add a bit of forward slope to the seat of the chair, is something that parents can pretty easily do on their own. I don't know whether they could give their kid a wedge to take to school with them or not. I don't know how that would work in practice, but certainly at home it could be used. In the car, which car seats quite often have a very steep angle down on the seat. So describe the wedge a little bit so that people know exactly what we're talking about, what kind of density, and just a general description, and also where someone could get them.
Okay, just one thing before that. Talking about standards, I saw that the standards in Europe, they were going to change the backward slope from 5 degrees to 10 degrees. And I managed to lobby them, and I actually went to Copenhagen. And now we, in Europe, we can actually choose between 11 degrees forward to minus 5 backwards. So people do have much more of a choice now. So even if you got a chair manufacturer to agree to make a forward-sloping chair, in Europe at least, we were allowed to use them now. They're part of the specification. But the actual wedge I'm suggesting need to be quite a firm surface. There's a lot of wedges around. They're actually, some of them you can get in the supermarket. They're very cheap, but you when you press them, they there's no substance to them. They're not very hard. So when you sit on them, they don't really make a difference. Right. So the wedges that you need to look out for is when you press them, they don't give very much. And these are called, it's actually, if you went into a foam shop and you asked for 8-pound chip foam, they would know what you were talking about. And 8 pounds is the pressure of the foam when it's being manufactured.
So I think in America that would be thought of as kind of a dense foam as opposed to a very soft foam. So it has to provide support. It isn't necessarily as hard as, say, wood would be or metal, but it's not something that you sit in and you're pretty much sinking back to the underlying surface. You are actually supported at the angle of the wedge. I say a little bit about how someone can get these, because I know you have them for sale on your site, but there are, I believe there are some Amazon options as well, or where would a concerned parent go?
Okay, you can just type into Google wedge shape cushions, and you will get a whole array of possibilities. And when you do get to a website, you just email them and you just ask them, are your cushions firm, or are they soft? And they will give you some sort of idea. And most good manufacturers would, if they weren't happy with it, you have a 14-day guarantee. So you can order one, and if it's not good for you. But people can try this at home without buying anything at all. All you do is you get a kitchen or a dining room chair, and you put a telephone book underneath the back legs of the chair, it does exactly the same thing.
Oh, you just elevate the chair a bit, the back of the chair.
Exactly.
Just to, so you could maybe experience for yourself what the difference is. And, and of course, having phone books under the back legs of a chair is probably not a good permanent solution, but it would give you some indication of what we're talking about.
I
should also say that on your site there is a whole page, which I will put a link to along with the homepage of your site, that talks a lot about your work with schools, trying to get schools to change, and includes references to the study that prompted this conversation, and has some photographs, right, of kids sitting on one of these wedges, so you get some sense of what it looks like, so you have some idea of what you might want to order, right?
Yeah, sure.
And go ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just one thing. When people first sit on the wedge-shaped cushions, or they put a telephone book underneath the back legs, they sometimes feel very strange. Mm-hmm. It feels a bit weird. That sensation disappears after a bit. And if people do get a wedge, I would recommend maybe half an hour a day for the first day, going to 40 minutes for the second day, and gradually build up. And after a while, you can use them all the time, but the body doesn't need to get used to them. Right. The other thing to say is, a lot of people, when they're using backward sloping chairs, they're sitting up straight and arching their back. And when you do that on a wedge-shaped cushion, sometimes it feels even more uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So they have to, it's important that they have Alexander lessons to teach them how to actually use the wedge in the first place.
Right. If that is a person's sitting pattern, where they're actively trying to, in their mind, sit up straight, mm-hmm. and usually that means they're overarching their lower back, right?
Exactly.
And perhaps lifting their, who knows, all kinds of other things too, yeah. lifting yeah. their chest, mm-hmm. pulling their shoulders back. That's something that probably is going to be helped with some Alexander lessons,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
because that's yeah. something that's not going to be a good thing to be doing, no matter what, whether you're using a wedge or not, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Right, right. But when you're using a wedge, if you are sitting up straight, sometimes it makes the back even worse.
Right.
They do have to not sit up straight when they're sitting on the wedges. The wedges will straighten them anyway.
Right, exactly. So if you, I suppose if you're a listener and you might want to have someone take a look at you seated and see if you mm-hmm. seem to be overarching your low back, and
exactly.
and or if you feel like you're making an effort to sit up, mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. pretty good tip off that you're doing something you don't really need to do. So I think that if someone actually does experiment with the wedge, with themselves or with their children, they will probably fairly quickly start to see some of the benefits, and it may be useful to have several wedges, right? One for your car, one for dining room table, who knows?
Yeah.
So I will put all this other, more detailed information by our interview. But I do think that the wedge idea is deceptively simple. I think it's actually getting at a pretty it can produce some pretty profound results just on its own.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll just say a little story. It was a person on a workshop, and I introduced the wedges on the workshop. And she had a lovely Mercedes car, but the seat was diabolical. Mm-hmm. The seat was really sloping backwards. Anyway, I put the wedge in it, and she immediately said, oh, I couldn't possibly sit on one of those. It feels really uncomfortable. But anyway, as the workshop went on, she used them a little bit more each day, and then she eventually brought one. I got a call from her 3 weeks later, and she said, oh, you have to send me another wedge cushion, because my husband was cleaning the car. He put the wedge on top of the car while he was cleaning it, drove off, and the wedge is on some hedge somewhere. But now I can't drive the car anymore.
So right? look after so your wedge.
Exactly. two or 3 weeks
yeah.
before she got completely used to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, is there anything else you want to add before we bring our interview to a close?
No, but all I can say is if anyone has a very bad back, they can bring immediate relief to it.
Mm-hmm.
I found that myself. And mm-hmm. when I give it to people with bad backs, a lot of people who come to see me get the same sort of release that I did. So they can be very effective indeed.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's end on that note. Excuse me. My guest today has been Richard Brennan, an Alexander Technique teacher in Galway, Ireland. I'll put a link to his site by the interview. I'll put a link to the page on his site that goes into what we've been talking about in some detail. I'll also put a link to a site that will allow you to find more information generally about the Alexander Technique and how to locate a teacher anywhere in the world. Richard, thank you so much for this.
Okay, you're very welcome, Robert. Thank you.